last week, my husband and I had met with Pastor Parkey and Lorraine, and we had lunch just to talk about some other things, and kind of had told him what the Lord had really been putting on my heart for the past several months. And it's a word I'm sure we've all heard called revival. And Lord has really just been, I've been hearing that word revival, 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 and I've been praying for it daily, getting confirmation from other pastors hearing teachings about it and some other people I've spoken to, and we're all going, we need revival, we need something. This country needs to be woken up, the church needs to be woken up, everything's just kind of in this slump, we need a fresh breath of God. And so I had the pleasure of going to CFNI worship night. And I went with Miss Kirsten Bartlett, and we had an amazing time. And I'm there just praising, going crazy, and come on, God, bring revival, you know, bring change, bring the breath of God. And he goes, okay, but revival is nothing more than obedience. And I kind of stopped. What? What are you talking about? You know, revival's nothing more than obedience. And I started thinking back when I was younger. I grew up in Illinois, and I remember being younger, and off in the cornfields, you see these giant white tents and music going and tons of people. And even though we were in Illinois, you could hear like a really strong southern accent on the microphone, a man, you know, just preaching about God, and hands are in the air, and it seemed like a good time as a party. And I remember asking my dad, going, what's that? He goes, oh, it's a revival. You know, those people are crazy. And I was like, well, I want to check it out and see what that's about. And I know that we don't have those as much as we used to, but hundreds of thousands of people have been saved over the years, you know, across the country at revivals. But where's the fruit in it? Where's the fruit in it? We have revival, but without obedience, what good is it? What are we left with? And I remember being there worshiping, and Rick Pino's going crazy. I don't know if any of y'all listen to Rick Pino. He can be pretty intense at times. And he's just, you know, going, and I hear the Lord just saying, obedience, you need obedience. If I take a man off the street, let's say an addict, and I take him in, and I'm like, all right, great. We're going to get you clean and sober. We're going to put your life back together. It's going to be a miracle. Everything you've ever prayed for and hoped for, we're going to make it happen. And we get him cleaned up. We get him sober. And he's like, I feel great. This is awesome. This is everything I've ever wanted. But the next day, we don't teach him how to stay sober. What good was that miracle? Where was it? And I don't know about anyone else. I've been always praying, God, I want to lose weight. Lord, let me lose weight. And it's really difficult. And it's really hard. We're always like, well, if we have a magic little pill, a miracle cure, I'll lose weight and I'll look fantastic. It's going to be great. But what good is it if after you lose the weight, you don't eat healthy and take care of yourself every day thereafter? There was no point. And so if we have these revivals and thousands of people are giving their lives over to Christ, that's awesome. I'm all about it. I love Holy Ghost parties. They're amazing. And it's great to come together and worship, praise God, and have people give their lives. But after that, if we are not teaching them how to walk through life as a Christian, through those hard times, how to stay obedient, all we've done is created lukewarm Christians. We have created a bigger mess. Because it says in the Word, it's better to be hot or cold as opposed to be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out. And so, you know, going through things, I was like, okay, how important is obedience? And so I started looking in the Word. There's a lot of words about obedience. And actually, if you go to 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And I was starting to look at my own life. And I really, this past 2 weeks, have really done a lot of soul search. And I was like, well, we do this, and we do this, and we sacrifice our time, and we sacrifice our money, and we're involved in everything we can possibly be involved in. And that's great, and that's sacrifice. But is there true obedience? Are you praying? Are you worshiping? When somebody does something to offend you, what's your first thought? Ugh, what a jerk. Or are you going, oh, I'm going to pray for you. You know, where's our heart really? Where is our obedience? Anybody can come to church and do what they're supposed to do and say the right things in front of everybody, but it's the all-the-time obedience. And that's something I've, as a mom, and I only have one, so I noticed some that doesn't qualify, but she's 7, and I tell her all the time, just listen to mommy, just do what mommy says, and everything will be good. If you just clean your room like I tell you, just do what I say, we're not going to have any issues. Well, guess what? God is our Father. He's saying the same thing to us. I gave you the word. If you just do what I say and you just follow the rules and you do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to have any problems. It's there. I mean, we have problems when we're not following the word of God. And actually, I didn't realize there's still door-to-door Kirby salesmen because I had one show up at my house today. And I was talking to him. He's a 23-year-old young man, and he did some time over in Afghanistan. Grew up in the Catholic Church, so really into religion and not so much a relationship, he had said. And I asked him, I was like, well, can I ask you a quick question? He goes, yeah. I was like, you believe in the word of God? He goes, absolutely. I was like, so do you think, seeing what you have seen, if everyone on the face of the earth just followed what God said, would we have so many issues? He goes, oh, no, absolutely not. If every single person just obeyed the word of God, loved God with all their heart, soul, and strength, loved each other the way they love themselves, because with those two, we can uphold all the other commandments, we would not have what we have going on. We wouldn't have the murder, the rape. We wouldn't have the lies, the adultery, all of it. It wouldn't be there. So when we look around the world going, oh, it's so miserable, we have to kind of take a look at ourselves. Revival will not be found in our president. It will not be found in government. It's not going to be found in a pastor or a priest, in a worship band. That's not where revival is. It starts with you, in your home, in your heart. Obedience in your walk with Christ. Because I remember before I got saved, I used to go, well, yeah, you say you're a Christian, but look at what you do. Look how you live. You know, what? I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with that. And I think sometimes we kind of forget. The whole world does look at those little things that we do. And they go, hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. I don't want to go to church because there's hypocrisy. Well, yeah, there's just like Parky had said last week, yes, there's hypocrisy everywhere, in the church included. But there's a way to stop that. And we have to first be obedient in our own lives. I don't know how many times before I got saved, I used to tell my daughter, don't talk back, don't do this, don't do that. But I acted like a heathen. You know, mommy partied, mommy was out late, I talked crazy to my husband, and I couldn't understand why my daughter wouldn't behave well. It's not what we're saying to the rest of the world, it's how we're living. We can speak obedience all we want. If you don't live obedience, it's not fruitful. I don't care what you say, I don't care what church you go to, how much money you got. If you know every verse in the Bible forward and backwards, it don't matter. It don't add up to a stack of beans to the rest of the world unless we are living obedience. Because I remember going through treatment, and I remember asking every counselor I ever sat down with, were you an addict? And if they said, nope, I said, well, I don't want to hear it from you. You can't tell me how to live. You ain't been there. And the same thing as a Christian. They're going to say, well, oh, yeah? You doing it? Are you doing what you're supposed to? You pray every day, really? Do you really pray every day? When things get hard, are you really worshiping God? Or are you just going, oh, it's getting really tough. I think I might just bail. You know, what are you doing? And they see that. And they know. And we can say, oh, yeah, I do. And in our homes, really, we're not. And they can see right through it. I think sometimes, I know I fooled myself for a long time. We'd come to church, did everything we're supposed to. We tithe and everything else, and we'd go home, and it was a mess. Still drank, still partied and everything else. And our family was going, aren't y'all going to church? You know, isn't there supposed to be some fruit here? And there's something supposed to be happening? Oh, yeah, it's great, it's great. No. Coming to church is not the solution. Volunteering your time is not the solution. It's being obedient to God in all the things that we need to do. Be obedient to God. And I really believe that, especially with the way things are going right now, that we are coming to the end. And if we get into the book of Matthew, one of the best books, in my opinion, when he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in which I believe right now, for our country at least, we are kind of coming back to the Garden of Gethsemane. And here's why. If you look in there, starting at Matthew, let's see, 26:36. I'll give you all a second to get there if you want. It says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them, fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour, keeping watch and praying so that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" 1 hour. They couldn't even sit there and just pray. We don't live like the disciples live. We have every creature comfort we can imagine. We're not out there with Jesus going through some of the crazy things that they did. You know, just being ridiculed beyond belief, living that hard, disciplined life that they did. What excuse do we have to not be obedient? God is saying, just sit there and pray. Can you just do that? Can you just pray? What happened to us that we can't even be obedient in just that? That we can't even just, in that little thing, be obedient? What has happened? I think we need to kind of come back and just, all right, God, let's just pray. Here we are sleeping, and God's going, he didn't say, go and start 1,000 ministries and do jumping jacks and do this and this. He just said, just stay right here and pray. And that's all we got to do, you know, that's it. Stay here and pray. And worship is a part of that. Worship him. Worship him. I've heard so many times, and I said it 1,000 times, well, I just feel, you know, this block, I feel kind of stuck. You know, I'm not hearing from God, I'm not happy, I'm going, because I'm not praying, I'm not worshiping, I'm not being obedient. I'm looking at my life, and I was like, well, good, I've let that go. I've started serving myself. If you're not worshiping and praying to him, you are worshiping and praying to something, I promise you. Whether it be your family, and there's nothing wrong with loving your family, yourself, your job, TV, if you're my husband, it might be hockey. There's something. If it is not first, there's something else. And I think we all the time, it's a process. No one's saying be perfect, but it's always a process where we're having to check ourselves, going, okay, are we being obedient? And it's easy. He laid it out for us. There ain't nothing complicated. Love me, love everybody else. Boom, done. Cool. There's a lot of other religions out there. You got to do this, got to eat at this time, and do, you know, sit down and bend or spin around before you eat and touch your toes. And there's a lot to it. God said, no, hey, I got to figure it out. Look, I'll send my son. I'm going to bail y'all out. Cool. Now, love me, love each other, and we're set. Pretty simple. But we make it really complicated. And I don't understand why. You know, I think sometimes we hear obedience and we think about how big this book is and go, there's so many rules. There's no way. And I did it for a long time. There's no way I can do all of that. You're right. It's impossible. And rejoice in it. You don't have to be perfect. There was only one perfect one. That was it. And he already sent him, bailed us out. We don't have to worry about it ever again. So it's pretty simple. So I'm just kind of wondering, where did our hearts go that we went from on fire for God, standing up for what we believed in, this country on the right path, strong Christian nation, to where we are now? What happened? Because I know for my generation, we are the most unchurched generation this country has seen yet. The only thing I can think of is all the people before that were saved and on fire for God did not stay obedient. There's no fruit. If you're not staying obedient and teaching your children and generation after, there's no fruit. It's impossible for it to live. It's impossible for it to survive without obedience. And our amazing pastoral staff and Pastor Parkey, all the lessons we do are breaking it down, teaching us little by little how to be obedient, why to be obedient. All right, well, the word says this. Why does it say that, and how do I do it? They break it down. We have amazing people that are telling you bit by bit. They are holding our hand and walking us through it little by little by little. You know why? Because we're children. We are still God's children, and we are to maintain that mentality when it comes to God of a child. How awesome. I don't know about anyone else. I've said 1,000 times, if I could only be a kid again. No responsibilities. If I could just go back to being a kid and just worry about finger painting and snacks and nap time, I'd be great. And with God, that's all we have to do. Sing and dance and talk to our daddy. Pretty simple. Pretty awesome. I can do that. I cannot be perfect, but I can't sing. I'm not going to lie. I cannot sing, but I do. I'm an okay dancer, kind of, sometimes. You know, but I still dance, and I rejoice in the Lord, because that's all I can do. And that's all we can do. We cannot be perfect, obedient all the time, and that's okay. But I'm so tired of seeing all of these awesome, amazing people just beating themselves down. I mean, everyone in this congregation has done it at some point. Well, I messed up, and now I feel this block, and that's it. You know, I'm just done. I just can't get over it. Really? Drop it. Move on. Worship him. Be obedient. Worship him. Praise to him. Go, thank you, God. Yay, I'm a mess up, and now what you did was not in vain. Yay. Right? You know, everyone has more power than they can even begin to fathom. And if we really start understanding what God said, what Jesus said, and you really hold on to it, everything in this world around us, all the evil and dark and ugly, you're going to go, awesome, because now you're fulfilling God's word. Great. I got things to pray about. I got issues to rejoice in. Yay. Awesome. And it'll be great. It says, greater is he who is in me than is in the world. We say it, but do you believe it? Like, really, do you really, really believe that? Like, honestly, with all your heart, do you believe what is living in you can keep you obedient to conquer the world? I mean, grab it. Hold on to it. Walk in obedience with it. Things in your life really do start shaping up and coming together. They're not perfect by any means when you just start rejoicing in the Lord. I thought I had the greatest job. I just got promoted. Things were going great. We were making more money than we had ever made. And out of the blue, boom, came in to work from a day off. And they go, you're fired. I was like, what? Wait a minute. You just promoted me. What do you mean I'm fired? It was a big mess. And I could have just got, well, kicking rocks and woe is me. And I said, you know how much time I have to do ministry stuff now? Yes! Excited. And man, crazy things are happening. Numbers don't add up, but the money's there. I have time to spend with people that I've been praying like crazy to have time with. Little things. And it says in the Word, rejoice in all things. One little thing, obedience. All right, God, you said something bad happens, rejoice. Worship, pray. Something bad happens, so I guess I will worship, rejoice, and pray. Pretty easy. And you know what? There's times it's hard, yeah. But now I have a reason to lean on God even more. If he came in and made everything perfect, nothing bad ever happened, and he was just a miracle whenever you demanded, where's the faith in that? None. There's no faith in that. That's easy. But when things happen, that's when you get to see God move. When you are obedient, you see God moving in your life in ways you can't even imagine. And it's awesome. It's exciting. And when you get to that part, then that's when the fire of God spreads. When you are obedient in your life, that's when the revival starts to take place in those around you. They're going, oh, man, I remember how messed up she was. Ooh, she's a hot mess. But now, she's kind of different. So what have you been doing? Being obedient to God. All right, well, what's that? I praise him, I worship him. I love everybody. That's about it. That's it?
Yep, that's it.
They go, I can do that. But if I told them, now you have to do this, you got to be here at this time, and on this day, and you got to dress this way and talk like that, they go, forget it. But if all they have to do is know, worship him, pray to him, love other people. Pretty simple stuff. Pretty simple stuff. And that's all he's asking. And once we get a hold of that, and I mean really get a hold of that, things are going to just go crazy. Not only in this church, but in this country, in this world. Things are happening overseas right now. People are catching the Holy Ghost like you wouldn't believe. We have watched some footage with the youth. Oh my gosh, you have thousands of people, hundreds of people sometimes in a cave, in a hot, sweaty, dark cave, because that's the only place they're safe to worship God. And he's moving in these places. And all they're doing, they're not doing nothing nuts. They're praying and worshiping. That's it. That's all they're doing. Praying, worshiping, being obedient. And that, I'm telling you, it's spreading like crazy over there. You got children laying hands and healing. You got miraculous stuff. People's teeth are turning gold in their mouth. Give me some. And it's all in worship, prayer, obedience. That's all it is. It's nothing fancy, no fancy prayers and special dances or anything like that. It's real simple. God made it easy for us. Had it not been for Jesus, it'd probably be real tough. One little slip, whoop, you're dead. You're gone. He made it so easy, so take a hold of it. Don't let it be in vain. Because when we let that happen, when God said, I'm all right, I'm going to bail y'all out, I got it. Do a couple little things for me, real little things. We're good. When we don't, it's in vain. His death was in vain. It was for nothing. You might as well take how I do, lose all the weight I want, and then go right back to Jack in the Box for the ultimate cheeseburger, curly fries, and cheesecake at 10 o'clock at night. It's pointless. What was the point? Could you imagine if you sent your child to die for the world? You go, great, everything's good. All you have to do is this, this, and this, and then they don't? Wow, I'd be hot. I'd be pretty upset. I'd go, well, I'm not going to trust you ever again. I'm never going to bail you out again. You know, there's times Genesis, I'll tell her, okay, just keep your room clean, put stuff back. And she doesn't do it, so I take toys away. Okay, it's been a while, so I'm going to give them back to you. Now make sure this time you just do what you're supposed to. And she doesn't, and I get so frustrated, and I don't want to give her toys back. You know, but God, same way, we just keep messing up. He goes, okay, well, here's your toys back. I love you. It's okay. Try again. Just get back on it. Try again. You're not perfect. That's why I love you so much. Just praise him. Worship him. Be free to worship. You know, there's times I'm really crazy. There's times I'm not so crazy. Really just kind of depends. You know, come to the front. Be excited about Jesus. Because when we're all just kind of, ooh, I don't want anyone to see me, praise God. How is anybody else, a newcomer, going to go, I don't see what they're so excited about? Because I remember when I first came, we'd sit way in the back where it's really dark back there so no one could see. And people, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the front would be full and everyone's raising their hands. And I came from a Lutheran church and I went, looked at my husband and said, they're nuts. They're crazy. Why is that lady on her knees? Is something wrong? Why isn't anybody helping her? She's speaking funny. Okay, right? But I wanted to come back because I was curious. So something's got to be going on. And not to mention, Miss Sandy Byer has the most beautiful voice, so I had to come listen to her sing. But we're not giving anyone a reason to be excited because we're not obedient. When you see someone go, I love Jesus, my life stinks, I love God, oh, woe is me. Who wants that? Nobody. They go, oof, I see Jesus is really working for you. No. Give them a reason. Be fruitful in your lives. Be obedient in your lives. Get excited about them. Man, I tell you, like with the youth, I think the leaders sometimes get a little more zealous about it than the youth do. They are looking to us and go, well, I'm going to do what they do. I know what y'all are saying, but it can't be really true because they're not actually doing it. Just like, here, we're gonna jump off this cliff. It's going to be a really good time, I promise. You're going to love it. But I'm just going to stand here and watch you do it, so you just go ahead and go. What do you mean you're not going to jump? You're not going to jump with me? Well, no. I mean, it's really, trust me, it's a good time. Just go do it. No way. We're doing the same thing with our kids. Follow God, trust in the Lord and everything, rejoice in all the tribulations. And then they see mom and dad going, panic, what are we going to do? And they go, what didn't you say to rejoice? Why aren't you rejoicing? And they get confused and they go, well, this must not be real. And then we get situations like we're in now, where that generation grows up and they're running the country and they're making the rules. And then we're going, why would you do that? Why would you say that's okay? That's not okay. Didn't we teach you? Didn't we tell you that's not okay? Well, yeah, but that's what you said, but that's not what you did. I know you spoke obedience to me, but you didn't live it. And then we go, well, I don't know why things are the way they are. I give you a couple guesses why things are the way they are. We're not living obedience. It's not complicated. It's actually a good time, really. You know, I used to think, when I was in my addiction and crazy, I'm free. As soon as I get enough money to go get my fix, because I can't do anything without it. And as soon as I go do this, because I can't do anything without it. And my life revolved around that. I had no freedom. None. Everything I did revolved around what my friends said and think. Man, I tell you what, I got saved. I got a hold of Jesus. Wow. Freedom. What do you mean I don't have to do that? I don't have to. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to live by what the world says, really? Because I tell you what, living in obedience to God is living in direct defiance of the world. Direct defiance. And if you defy it, they're going to be mad at you. Get excited. When they're mad, go, yay! That means I'm doing it right. Because if you're living it and no one's saying anything, nothing bad's happening to you, devil ain't trying to mess with you, something's missing. Every day, the enemy should go, that one. What can I do to take him down? I got to find something good. Because I tell you what, their faith is getting real strong, and the stuff that used to work didn't work anymore. I'm going to find something new. And I think that's another thing we forget. Oh, well, I conquered that. Nothing else so bad ever happened again. Oh, he'll find new ways. Could you imagine, say I'm 29, if I worked on something for 29 years and someone came and took it away from me, I would fight like crazy to keep it. And for some of us, it's generational. Devil's been working our families for a long, long time. He is not just going to let go. And get excited about that too, because that means he really wants you, because he knows the power of God that is in you. The harder he fights, rejoice in it, go, I got some good stuff. He is really scared of me. Awesome. And you know, when you worship, you're taking over his role. He was over worship in heaven. And there ain't no better slap in the face to him than when he's trying to attack. You just worship God. The smile on your face, a song in your heart, going, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have put enough of you in me that everybody else sees it, that the enemy sees it, and he don't like it. Praise him for it. Worship him for it. It's actually happened to my daughter already at school. She's 7. She goes, Mom, this kid made a fun of me because I love God. And I go, what'd you do? She goes, I said I pray for him. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's awesome. I mean, that's how we need to be. I've had coworkers, even supervisors go, let me guess, you need time off for another God thing. Yeah, I do. Great. I'm glad you noticed that about me. I'm glad you know that is my life, that God comes before anything and everything. I'm glad you know that. Because Lord, I do not want to say that I am a Christian and my life not reflect that. I don't ever want to step out in public where the world can see me, and without saying a word, they go, no, she's not a Christian. No, she's definitely not. I want everyone to go, ooh, yeah. That's one of them church people right there. Yeah, it is. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It is. Absolutely. So get excited about it. Be on fire for it. And it's too late for me. Good. No, it's not. It's never too late. You have generations of people looking to you to be their guide. You have family members that are lost and broken and desperate. And they're going to always bring up your past because that's what they do. Okay? And they're looking to you for change, for inspiration. You go, watch, praise him, love him, worship him, and things will be okay. They're not perfect. But man, you'll have some peace. Raise your hand if you've ever said, God, I just want peace in my life. And that's all you have ever prayed for. Lord, just bring me some peace. I don't care about anything else. Just bring me peace. He goes, cool, I'll give it to you. Just worship me. Whoosh, peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Because I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And that's how you know it's God. When it don't make sense, when it's really crazy, nothing you could ever come up with in your wildest dreams or imagination, you know it's God. He goes above and beyond anything you could ever do, say, think of, or imagine, because he's that good. All right? So praise him for it. If I came to you with all the money in the world, which is something ridiculous, and go, here you go. Well, I'm pretty sure some of y'all would probably do some backflips, do things you didn't know your body could do, scream, holler, shout, and rejoice, and get crazy excited about it. I know I would if someone just dropped all the money in the world in front of me. Yes! Because I know my rear end isn't supposed to go over my head, but I'm pretty sure it would. Right? He did the same thing. But if someone, when you give someone a gift and they just go, yeah, thanks. It hurts. Here, I'll take it back. Give it to somebody that cares. Give it to this person over here. Right? God gave us the greatest gift of all, and if we can't at least thank him for it, well, that's kind of rude. Right? Because even non-believers thank people when they get a gift. Right? I know, I did all the time. It was beat into me. Say thank you. Send a note. Give him a gift back. And that's all he wants. Worship me. Thank me. Be obedient. It's real simple. It's not hard. Don't overcomplicate it. There's so many amazing, beautiful people in this congregation. Man, I cannot wait for y'all to like really get a hold of God and just run wild with it. I mean, run up and down the aisles with it. Just don't hit people. You know, get excited. This is your life. You know, I get excited when I get my nails done and my hair done. I want to show everybody and make sure it looks good. This is bigger than that. This is eternity. God has saved you. He's given you. Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I did. And then we look and go, oh, man, I really wish some of that stuff Jesus did would come back. And he goes, it's here. I gave it to you. Use it. Greater things are coming. Why aren't y'all using it? You keep saying, well, I just want the old miracles back. They're here. But they're not going to manifest if we're not obedient. Okay? You know, you get a child and they're grounded, and they're in trouble. We don't keep giving them more stuff until they become obedient. God's not going to give us more stuff as his children until we become obedient. It's not that difficult. The relationship is really easy, especially if you're a parent, to see the correlation. I struggled with it until I had my daughter, and I get it. And I called my dad and said, Dad, I'm so sorry for everything I ever did. I still call him on a regular basis. Dad, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I know you got a lot of gray hair. Well, what's left? Forgive me. And that's all he goes, oh, I still love you. Yeah, it was tough at times. But you're my kid. I love you. And God's telling you the same thing. Yeah, you're a knucklehead sometimes. I really wish you wouldn't have done that. That's okay. I love you. Just from here on out, do your best to be obedient. From here forward, do everything you can to follow my word. I didn't write all that for nothing, right? He didn't write a book just for, well, I'm a passionate writer and I'm just going to write. No, he did it so we had a guide to be obedient. I mean, if I had a guide when I was a kid, I don't think I'd be grounded nearly as much as I was. If I knew flat out, all right, Dad wants me to do A, B, and C. No gray area there. I wouldn't be in trouble half the time that I was. Man, our Father loves us enough. He gave us a manual. He said, here, look, just do this. Oh, I can do that. I can love other people, and I can talk to you. I can sing to you. I don't know if you want to hear it, but I can. Right? Yes. I know it's Wednesday night. Everyone's full of the awesome spaghetti, right? But I'm praying and believing that everyone's going to get a hold of true revival. Not just a really cool Holy Ghost party up in a tent, which I'm not opposed to, which I really would like to do because I've never been to one. But really revival in their lives to feel themselves awaken from the inside out to where they can't do nothing but produce good fruit. They just can't produce bad. Because it says in the Word, a bad tree does not, or a good tree does not produce bad fruit. Right? I want to be a good tree. I want to be a good tree. I think it's because I want to be taller. Trees are really tall. But be a good tree. Produce good fruit. Be obedient to the Lord. It's nothing complicated. Worship Him. It said David danced, and he was a king. Who are we? I mean, we're... I'd like to think I'm pretty awesome, but I'm definitely not a king or queen or royalty, or I'm royalty in His kingdom. Man, if David can just throw off the jacket and dance around all crazy, I think I can raise my hands a little bit and kind of groove with it, right? I can get excited about it. I can show people, hey, there is no condemnation in the Lord. Ain't no one gonna make fun of you for dancing and being excited. You should dance and be excited. He saved you from hell. Yes! I'm pretty sure the people in hell will go, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. You can put me on a stage in front of the whole world, and I will stand my head and do backflips and whatever you want, anything to have Him. Well, we have Him. Rejoice in it. Quit being scared of it. Rejoice in Him. You know, shout out hallelujah, amen, all that stuff. I used to think it was really weird. And now I'm like, why isn't anyone saying anything? It must not be good. Because you know it's good because you get people, yeah, hallelujah. We do it when we have guest speakers all the time. Salt and Coal, man, this place light up. It's crazy. We should be doing that when Pastor Parkey's up here. Man, that's a good word, Pastor Parkey. Yes, amen. That's hitting me in my heart. That's convicting me. Yes, God, now I know how to be more obedient to the Lord. Thank you for teaching me because I was kind of lost. So, yes, but we don't. You see it all the time. Yeah, can you see my Facebook update? Yeah, that's good. You check the score of the game? No, yeah. What do you want to eat when you get out? Man, you know, Pastor Parkey goes through so much to prepare words, spends a lot of time because he loves us. He loves us and wants to teach us to help us be obedient because that's his job. That's what we're here for. Don't let it be in vain. Oh, man, don't let God's love be in vain. The work of this staff be in vain. There's nothing that excites them more. And I know just being a youth leader, nothing excites me more than watching them praise God and getting excited about God and running wild with it and go, ooh, I just want to get out there and tell the world about it. I don't care how old you are. Nothing excites the pastors here more than when they see their congregation that they love so desperately get excited about Jesus. And dance for God, and sing to God, and clap their hands, just like small children do. And put on a show for God, go, look how much I love you. I want to dance kind of crazy. Right? Little things to be obedient in. Right? It's not that hard. Pretty simple stuff. So we're going to cut out a little bit early, because I just can't talk for a full hour. It's just not in me. Talk this long is kind of ridiculous. But I'm just going to pray real quick. And mind you, when we release, there are still some classes and the youth going on. So just be mindful of that. And so let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this time here in the house of the Lord, Father God. Thank you for the staff here that just love us tremendously, Lord. We just ask that you bless them, bless their hands, everything that they put their hands to, Father God. Just let it multiply and increase beyond measure. Father God, bless everyone that is here, Lord, and everyone in the classes spread about. Lord, we are praying for increase, healing where it is needed, Father God. Jobs where it's needed, Lord Jesus. We are praying for obedient hearts, Lord. Father God, remove the things that keep us from being obedient and replace it with you. Replace it with you, Father God. Lord, give us revelation where it's needed. Father God, cover us in the anointing oil and set us on fire so we can burn for you, Lord. Let us burn so the whole world can see. Thank you, Father. We just rejoice in you. Thank you for the outcome of the election because we know it's going to bring you glory, Father. We pray for our president and our government, Father God. Give them revelation and keep them safe, Father. Minister to them tonight as they rest their head, Lord. Just speak into their lives, Father God. Thank you for the soldiers overseas protecting our country. Thank you, Father. We just rejoice in you, Lord. Thank you for the tribulations that we have gone through to build us up and make us stronger, Father God. Thank you, Father. We just thank you and give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.